This recording, South Carolina 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of partridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that achy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile, and so in no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born and raised in Charleston, South Carolina, about the only place I know except for a couple of years of my life when I was in the Army. But anyway, I grew up in Charleston during the Depression years. There were a lot of times when things were really tough and we had to take a lot of hand-me-downs, which was okay with me. But anyway, finally when I got to be 18 years of age, before that, I attended James Simmons School and the Murray Vocational High School. I crossed the railroad tracks, went through Factory Hill by the old bagging mill to get to James Simmons School. I rode a bicycle to Murray and had a great time at all my schools. But when I reached age 18, I went to work in the shipyard. I was hired as a classified laborer. Now, whatever classified meant, I never did find out, but it didn't make an ounce of difference with me. I was making money. I was making 42.3 cents an hour, $17.28 a week. the most money I've ever had in all my life. It gave me enough money I could pay my grandmother some board and buy me some clothes of my very own. After working outside, while working outside, we were building steel racks for large sheets of steel that was coming in so that they could build ships. After a while, I was called to work in the office to keep track of money spent, where employees were working, and that sort of business. So after 4 years, I received a letter from my draft board. The letter read, "Greetings from the President of the United States." And it indicated that my friends and neighbors had elected me for possible service in the armed forces. I had to report to the draft board on the 3rd of October, 1943, sent to Fort Jackson, where we were examined, and I elected to go into the Army rather than the Marine Corps and the Navy.